The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink.
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. Thanks for listening and being part of the George Christensen Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the George Christensen Show. It's great to be with you again this Sunday. And we're going to be joined by three great guests. First up, a returning guest, Father Lazarus, Eastern Orthodox priest, who's going to be talking to us about the signs of the times. We're also going to be joined by independent reporter Maria Z from Z Media. She has been debanked, probably one of the first in Australia to be debanked, quite honestly, for her political views. And also we're going to be joined by farm activist Alan Parker. He's up in my part of the world, North Queensland of Australia, and we're going to be talking about the global war on farming and the fight back by farmers. And you're going to have to bear with me, folks. I'm so sorry about the husky voice that I've got going on at the moment, but I've been battling a bit of a throat infection this week, coming good, but I still want to be here with you talking about the issues that matter here on the George Christensen Show. And as I said, first of all, we're going to be talking to someone who's been on the show twice before, and he'll be on again and again because I think that his insights into the signs of the times are very, very important. Father Lazarus is an Eastern Orthodox priest. He currently works in the bereavement counselling sector, and I haven't gone too much into his background, but actually he was a former Wall Street trader at the New York Stock Exchange. And I heard an interesting story that Father Lazarus regaled about when 9/11 happened, and he was there, you know, near ground zero when that happened, and he escaped with a bunch of others out of that area. So that's a fascinating story in itself. But he's gone from that to work particularly in the counselling area, but he's someone who's steeped in theological knowledge, and he's also someone who's got a very keen eye as to what is going on in the world right now and how we can draw some spiritual conclusions out of that. It's great to talk to you again, Father Lazarus. How are you?
I'm doing well, George. Thank you for having me back.
Well, it's, as I said, good to be with you. Now, I know there's a lot going on right now, but one of the things that I wanted to particularly talk to you about is something that we've touched on before, but we only just sort of glanced over it, and that's the advent of the central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs, as they've become known. I noticed this week there was a snapshot that was sent out by a group called the Atlantic Council talking about where countries are at with CBDCs, and people think there's something far off into the future. But actually, as of the 1st of March, we're talking like less than 4 weeks ago, 65 countries were in the advanced stage of development of these CBDCs. We got 20 central banks, that includes where I am in Australia, that have actually launched pilots. And, you know, we can talk about others. Brazil, Japan, Russia, doesn't matter which side of that sort of east-west divide you're on, they're all doing it. And one country that's actually launched it, and I think this is saying something, they've launched their own digital currency, the e-naira, and they're the first cab off the rank, and the e-naira comes out of the home of scams, Nigeria. And I think that that's actually very symbolic about this whole CBDC concept, because it is going to be a scam, but the people that are going to be scammed are going to be us, and the scammers are going to be government themselves, where they're basically tying us in to a financial web that we will never be able to get out of. And part of that web will be financial tracking, perhaps even climate change accounting, ensuring that you're spending your money correctly in accord with their views on the climate and in accord with their views on morality, which is, you know, I should say immorality. So am I on the right track here, Father Lazarus, with my sort of skepticism about CBDCs?
Absolutely. The CBDCs enable all sorts of horrible totalitarian things. I mean, you're correct. This is a form of slavery. But it's not just a central bank digital currency. You got to remember, they're pushing the digital ID. The digital ID itself will have the central bank digital currency with it, and including your health information and everything else. So it's a package deal. It's control, not just over your economic life, but your entire life. Everything is going to be controlled. And what people don't understand is that, you know, the infrastructure of tyranny is being built up around us, and we're not seeing it. We're just not seeing it. We understand there's cameras at the store and there's cameras here and there. And I spoke to you about, Silicon Valley's Amanjabi, who talked all about the cameras, over a billion of them around the world, watching us, recording us. But even recently, you know, appliances in the home will record you. Your refrigerator will record you. And if you're overdoing it, you know, with the meat consumption, your refrigerator is going to have that recorded, and they're going to block you from even going into your refrigerator. I mean, this is a tyranny unlike an enslavement unlike we have ever seen in history before. And you can understand why the elites are drooling at the mouth to get this implemented. Absolutely. Yeah. And so it's a word game, right? So they're going to call it right now. What we see happening in our country is the bank crisis, right? And it is spreading around the world. But so they got together and they implemented this FedNow. FedNow. Yes. What is the FedNow? The FedNow is not the implementation of CBDCs yet. What it is, it's a payment network that is needed for the CBDCs. In other words, it's an infrastructure, and that infrastructure has to be put in place first, then comes the CBDCs. This is the same pattern that they use in Nigeria and everywhere else. It's clear that this is the pattern. So what you're seeing is the Fed now, it's going to allow quick transactions. People are going to love that. And it's going to eventually lead to a Fed coin, right? A CBDC. Yeah. And that's all it's going to be. Infrastructure and then introduction of the CBDC. So that's the pattern that we're seeing happening right now. And that, of course, is going to be linked up, as I said, with your digital ID. You know, we're looking at times in history, in a complete inversion of everything that God created. He created man and woman. He created the heavens and the earth, and he said it is good, right? He created this hierarchical system, which it is hierarchical. And so he created this system. And we're seeing it being inverted, which is the enemy. It's Satan. He's inverting the entire system of God's creation. And we always have to remember, when we're leading up, as the church says, to the end, when this person, this Antichrist person, will come, whenever that is. But we're leading up to that, and his reign is a reign of spiritual tyranny. It is tyranny. And what we're seeing happening in the world has a huge spiritual connotation to it. And we got to remember that, because we're not remembering that. Most people are just seeing the bank crisis, money, things in this world. No, there's a parallel world, a spiritual world. And that battle is taking place day in and day out. We're in the midst of that. It is a spiritual tyranny, a despotism of souls, basically. And that's what's happening. And it even happens when we think we have apparent freedom. We think we have freedom. But what we're seeing is a time of not atheism. We're seeing a time of Christianity, churches being built up, but churches that are betraying Christ and betraying the truth, many of them. And this control that the enemy has over a universal monetary regime is taking place before our eyes. They're going to get rid of all the smaller banks. They're going to destroy them and subsume them into the big banks. I was reading
almost seems to be it has to go hand in hand with this system, because if you're going to have central banks issuing digital currencies, it almost becomes and of course the central banks aren't going to do it all themselves. They will hand pick their favoured sort of caretakers of this new digital currency. But sure enough, what's the point of having your money in a small bank when your credit is being issued by the central bank? Really, they could all just say everyone's going to have the one bank now. I don't think they'll do that. I think they'll do more on the lines of what you've just suggested. But CBDCs ultimately would mean the end of small banks. We have them in Australia as well. They're much better to bank with because a lot of them are community banks rather than banks that are controlled by, you know, the likes of BlackRock. Go on. How do you think that this is going to happen?
Well, through the crisis, these smaller banks are not going to be able to stand up. The infusion of money, printing money, which is what they're doing, is going to the big banks. And the smaller banks are going to have to fold. That's what they're doing. They're putting them out of business. They're going to subsume it all under big banks, probably about 12 or so major central banks around the world. That will be it. And they'll all be on the same page with one another. The digital currencies that will be in different nations, you'll have digital yuan, you'll have digital. It'll be all different things in nations, but it's going to be all the same. It's all CBDCs. And this infrastructure is what we see being put in place as we speak. This goes hand in hand with everything else, with the infrastructure that they're doing as far as being able to travel, understanding what we have in this world as far as our freedom to travel. That's going to be taken away from you. All of the things that I said that are connected. And here's an interesting thing, right? So Scripture tells us that there's coming a time when no one can buy or sell unless they have this mark, right? And everybody speculates throughout history what this mark is on the right hand and the forehead. Well, isn't it interesting that the government of Qatar rolled out a new pay-by-face technology at the World Cup tournament? So a pay-by-face, it scanned your face, forehead as well, in order for you to pay. And now we have another system being in Panera Bread and so forth. It's a palm scanner where you don't have to touch anything. It just scans your palm. Typically, people are putting their right hand over that. So, you know, the idea of something on your forehead or on your hand is here. Even during the pandemic, they were taking your temperature where? On your forehead. People were lining up and offering their forehead to be scanned. And that was giving it was making us used to. It was getting us used to doing that. So many things we see happening. You know, I want to say a quote real quick from an early church father, Lactantius was his name, in 320 AD. And I think he gives a good description of our time. And he was speaking of those days that will come. He said this, he goes, "That will be the time in which righteousness shall be cast out and innocence be hated, in which the wicked shall prey upon the good as enemies. Neither law nor order nor military discipline shall be preserved. No one shall reverence hoary locks, nor recognize the duty of piety, nor pity sex or infancy. All things shall be confounded and mixed together against right and against the law of nature." Yeah, I think he hit the nail on the head.
He certainly did. That's an unbelievable quote. From what era was that?
320 AD, from his work Divine Institutes. Book 7. You know, he totally called it out, but he's basically saying what I said to you: an inversion of the natural order is going to take place. Right is now wrong. Wrong is now right. Male and female are blurred. Those lines are being blurred completely and taken away. Everything that is good, right, holy, just is being flipped upside down. And natural law is being completely turned against us. Okay. And it is Christianity that is being attacked. Make no mistake about it. In the end, this is a battle against Christ. It is Christ versus Antichrist. Always has been and will be until the end of the age. That's what we're dealing with. So we have to get that in our minds when we're looking at the daily news and we're looking at what's happening in the world. We have to remember there is a huge spiritual element to this. And people ask me all the time, what do we do? What do I do in this? Well, I mean, we see the CBDCs, we see the massive tracking and tracing and recording of us. You know, there are few things we can do. One thing I would suggest to people is when it comes to the digital technology, get rid of any unnecessary devices you have. People are running around putting, you know, Apple Watches on and Ring doorbells and Alexa in their house and robotic vacuum cleaners and baby monitors and high-tech refrigerators. Listen, all of those things are eyes and ears right inside your home. They're right inside your home.
Say hello to the CIA.
Yeah. It's all eyes and ears inside your home. The other thing you can do is shop local. Go to your farmers for vegetables, meat, and dairy. You know, remember, Bill Gates, and they want to put the mRNA technology in the food. They want to put it in the vegetables, the lettuce, all of the above. So shop local. Get your meat and dairy and vegetables from local farmers.
Use cash.
That's right. Use thrift shops and smaller independent gas stations, whatever you can. Because it's always better to buy with cash, like you said, from local mom and pop retailers. That's what we need to do.
Absolutely.
And I would say turn off routers before you go to bed at night. Turn off your routers. Use a Faraday bag for phones when you're traveling. But, you know, in the end, we all have to just admit we're going to have to get rid of our cell phones at some point, especially if we want to remain free.
Indeed, that time might be coming quicker than we think. And time has come quicker than I thought. We're up for a break here on the George Christensen Show as part of TNT Radio.
Jeremy Nell on TNT Radio.
What does human rights mean anyway? I have no idea. If I think about the last few years and the absolute audacity of the government in the last few years to come out on Human Rights Day and talk about human rights while having locked down and forced people into their homes, it is just so Monty Python-esque. It's just unbelievable. You know, I wonder if these people, these authorities, these illegitimate authorities, I wonder if they have any idea what irony is. Are they self-aware at all? I somehow don't think so. I mean, I think they just operate on autopilot. They just get lots and lots and lots of money to act. You know, they're just on a stage. And yet, there are so many people who still buy into the theater. And I'm so glad that I can be one of those people here on TNT who can see through the act, who can see the script.
Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. a message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Be a part of the conversation.
Let's talk about politics.
This is today's News Talk Radio.
Go. Thanks for representing, brother.
TNT.
Welcome back to the George Christensen Show. I'm George Christensen, joined by Orthodox priest Father Lazarus. We're talking about the signs of the times. And just before the ad break, we were talking about central banking digital currencies and the global banking system collapse that we're currently seeing, or could be a collapse. It's certainly a crisis, that's for sure. I note, though, that in the US there is somewhat of a political pushback. You have people like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, and a lot of others that are coming out with a legislative push or some sort of regulatory push against CBDCs, or at least against what they see as the harmful elements and the elements of CBDCs that might harm our financial privacy. Is there any hope that we can put in politicians at the moment to fix this problem?
In my honest opinion, no. I applaud them doing what they're doing, but let's face it. Look, when I worked on Wall Street, we all knew that the Federal Reserve is not federal at all. It's a privately owned banking company. It's owned by private owners, European. It's no more federal than Federal Express. Okay, we all knew that because stocks were traded on the trading floor for the Federal Reserve. So the name is somewhat of a deception. And, you know, given that, you're looking at the Federal Reserve and their money system worldwide. Okay, this so let's say two states, let's say Texas and Florida decide we're not going to do CBDCs, but every other state does and every country in the world does. How long do you think that's going to last for those two states?
Yeah, it won't last long.
They're going no, not at all. You know, and that's what I'm trying to say here. We need a massive movement where people all over the country say, no, 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 we resist this. So I can hope that that happens and that these two individuals are going to lead the charge. But in the end, we know that everything is being centralized in the world. We see globalism happening before our very eyes, everything, even toward a world government, which is being pushed by the World Economic Forum, the world government. So they want to bring everything together. And we know that that was going to happen. We knew this even from scripture, you know, and as I said to you once before, there's this idea of sorcery, which is where we get our word pharmakia in the Greek, or pharmacy. And it's through sorcery that the world will be deceived. Doesn't that kind of fit in today? Through pharmaceuticals, let's put it that way, that the world will be deceived. So all of this is meant as a deception, lie upon lie, to pull us together into one. And we're being forced into this. People are not voting for this. We're being forced into it. Democracy has become an illusion. And mankind is living in this illusion right now. He's not willing to see the tyranny, as I said to you before, that's being built up around him. And it is a prison, and it will be a slave system. So we need to fight that. We need to fight this formula for tyranny, whether it's CBDCs, whether it's all the digital implementation going on around us, smartphones, smart appliances, you know, the roads are getting, and all of the streetlights have smart technology on them. Even the poles that the streetlight's on has smart technology. It can listen to you, it watches you, and it reads your license plate in real time. If you're standing under it talking to somebody, it's recording you. You know, I was the other day, I was talking to somebody in my car, not on the phone. My phone was sitting there, and I said, you know, I'm just going to stop at the store. I have a sweet tooth. I'm going to go get a Kit Kat or something like that. And I got a Kit Kat ad on my phone. Now, is that a coincidence?
Absolutely.
You know, it is a little creepy if you ask me, but this just is my point, that it's they're listening. And so we need to get these things out of our house. We need to get these out of our house. In the end, knowing that this is spiritual, what can we do? Well, you need to, number one, I'm talking to those who are Christians out there. You need to strengthen your faith in Christ. You need to pray more. You need to have a consistent time of prayer. We do that as a priest. I do that. I have my daily prayer hours and rule. But I think everybody should. Everybody should have that. And we need to, somebody said to me, well, what do we do, Father? I said, prepare for martyrdom. And they just looked at me. I said, prepare for martyrdom. Because those times are coming. I saw Israel put forth supposedly a law to imprison Christians who witness for Christ.
Yeah.
Well, some things don't change. You read the book of Acts, same thing, right? But they did that as well. So we're seeing this anger toward Christ being surfacing all over the place. And that, of course, is coming to us. For sure. So don't think that if you have CBDCs and you read your Bible and you go to church and you're involved in ministry that you're not going to be docked money because of your social score. You certainly will. The system that's being built up around us is not only not a lover of Christ, but is completely anti-Christ. It is a system of a beast that we see rising around us. And it's hard. It's hard for many people to come to terms with that. But we need to. We need to prepare spiritually because that's all you're going to have at some point is your Absolutely. Spiritual life. But remember, when you're weak, then you're strong, he said, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And he told us, don't think about what you're going to say. They're going to drag you before magistrates and before governors and so forth. Don't give any thought about what you're going to say. I'm going to give you the words. And when I give you the words, nobody's going to be able to refute you. So you tell me he's not going to be with us. Yeah, he's going to be with us. Some of you are going to be put to death, but be faithful, he said. Be faithful unto death and I'll give you a crown of life. That's our Savior. That's our Savior. We can trust him no matter what. And many have throughout history, many. It's beautiful. They
certainly have. That is beautiful. And just concluding that section on the CBDCs for the Australian listeners out there who might think this is a US thing, remember at the top of the hour I did say that the Reserve Bank of Australia, which is a government-owned bank, it is currently piloting a program to explore the uses of what they're calling the EAUD. They've actually got a name for it already, the EAUD. And they've been joined just over 3 weeks ago by the Commonwealth Bank and the ANZ Bank. So two of the biggest banks in Australia have joined forces with the Reserve Bank to actually look at how they can roll out this EAUD. So it's coming. It's coming. And we're going to do whatever we can to try and stop it. But if we can't stop it, we've got to do whatever we can to work around it. And some of the advice that's been given here has been fairly good in that regards. Just going from CBDCs to the banking crisis itself, I mean, unbelievable stuff that we've seen recently, particularly in the States, the Silicon Valley Bank falling. But I think that actually much more interesting, Father Lazarus, has been the collapse of this of Deutsche Bank, or its impending collapse, if it hasn't yet collapsed already. I mean, it was noted in an article that was sent to me just the other day from a website, Wall Street on Parade, which you may be familiar with, I'm not sure, being an ex-Wall Street trader. They talked about Deutsche Bank having a stock that was worth about 120 US prior to the global financial crisis. And it closed yesterday, they said, and I'm just looking for the date here. I don't say, but this is probably only a couple of days old. Closed at $9.65 in New York and was down another 10% in early morning trading in Europe. But they go on. This is what alarms me about the banking sector. I mean, you read the list of crimes that have come out of Deutsche Bank, one of the biggest banks in the world, right? Certainly in Europe. And you just think to yourself, this is evil, this outfit. It really is. It's evil. Let me just give you a short list of the things. I'll give you the short one because the author of this article has said that there is a laundry list of reasons to make Deutsche Bank an easy target for short sellers. So in 2018, November 2018, its headquarters in Germany was raided by 170 police because they found Deutsche Bank was helping customers fund offshore organizations in tax havens by transferring illegally acquired money without alerting authorities to suspected money laundering. We go on to a raid in September 2019 by the German police of Deutsche Bank headquarters relating to $220 billion laundering of involved with the Danske Bank, which is Denmark's largest bank. Deutsche Bank served as a correspondent bank to Danske's Estonia branch where that laundering was alleged to have occurred. And while the raid was ongoing, they found the body of someone who previously ran the Estonia business of Danske Bank. Surprise, surprise. Now here's one from 2022. In April, just last year, the body of Valentin Brooksmith, 46, was discovered in the grounds of the Woodrow Wilson High School in California. Val Brooksmith was the son of William Brooksmith, who had been found hanged in his London home on January 26, 2014. The senior Brooksmith had been a key executive at Deutsche Bank involved in assessing the risk on the bank's balance sheet. And according to a profile of Brooksmith written by David Enrich in the New York Times, the younger Brooksmith had obtained a cache of confidential bank documents left by his father that provided the tantalizing look into the internal workings of Deutsche Bank, and he was sharing those documents with the FBI. I mean, it's like bodies everywhere, police everywhere, money laundering everywhere, illegal activity everywhere. This has been going on for years and years and years in plain sight, and now it's 2023 and suddenly somehow someone's blown the whistle. Well, you know, I got to think, well, why now? What's the reason? I don't know the answer to that, but this is one of the world's biggest banks. It's been doing a lot of dodgy things. Now, I would say what we're seeing with Deutsche Bank is the tip of the iceberg. I can bet my bottom dollar there'd be many banks around the world that have engaged in similar practices, whether they're in Europe, whether they're in the US. I have no doubt that there are US banks. Actually, one of the big US banks connected to Deutsche Bank is JP Morgan Chase. So there you go. What do you think about all of this? Am I right to feel that the banking sector seems to be almost inherently evil?
You are correct. It's a scam. It's always been a scam. The money, the bank's always been a scam. Tell me a bank or banker you know that isn't corrupt. They all are. We knew that when we traded on Wall Street. But everybody just kind of went with it because, hey, I need to get a little piece of the pie for myself and I can't change it, can I? And that's the way people thought. You're seeing the banks failing for two reasons. Number one, they have to get rid of the dollar. They have to get rid of the money system that we have right now. They have to pull it all down, right? So in order to do that, they have to get rid of confidence in the banking system. So people begin to judge it and begin to get skeptical about it and not trust it because they're going to introduce a new system, hence the CBDCs. Secondly, they've got to get rid of cryptocurrency. The cryptocurrency market has risen unbelievably, okay? And the banking system has got to get rid of the cryptocurrency. And currently, the banking crisis is devastating cryptocurrency. It is one of the most anonymous and regulation-free payment methods in the modern world. But remember, anything outside of government control has got to go. And that's one of the reasons you're seeing this as well. It you know, there's bunch of reasons, but they got
the Sam Bankman-Fried saga. I think that that was clearly an attempt to bring down cryptocurrency. That whole FTX saga.
Absolutely,
it was bizarre. But now you see governments all over the world scrambling to actually bring in regulations around cryptocurrency. Look, we are going to have to go to another quick break. We'll be back with more here with Father Lazarus on the George Christensen Show here on TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Where have all the swamp rats gone? Long time shilling. Where have all the swamp rats gone, tearing us down? No, seriously, where are they? The lugubrious John Forbes Carey, the pestiferous Peter Strzok, the diabolical John Brennan, Die Spy, Yertle the Turtle, Cocaine Mitch himself. Where are all these people? Where's AOC? Where's the rest of the squad? Where's Alana? Where's Incest Omar? Where are all the people that have been occupying the front pages for the last 6 years? Mysteriously quiet. Where are they? More importantly, what are they up to? From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Many power grids worldwide are in grave danger of collapse from the growing amount of intermittent power sourced from wind turbines. Covering the countryside and offshore coastal regions with wind turbines is insane. English journalist James Dellingpole has described wind farms as a cancer and that he wants to raise public awareness of just how disastrous these bat-chomping, bird-slicing eco-crucifixes are in every single respect. These remarks nail the reality of wind farms to a T. When the wind doesn't blow, there is no power. And when gale force winds hit, the turbines are shut down. It's a Goldilocks moment. When the winds are just right, the power produced is at an optimum. In reality, industry and households require power 24/7, not just when the wind blows.
This is the George Christensen Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Joined here with Father Lazarus on the George Christensen Show. He's talking us through the signs of the times. We've been talking a lot about the banking sector, about central bank digital currencies. You were talking us through, cryptocurrency then. Governments now stepping in to regulate into that sector. It seems like every time that there's a human-designed possibility to exit this plan, barriers are put up by the authorities to corral us, to block us, to stop us from going down these sidetracks, doesn't it, Father Lazarus?
Absolutely. They don't want freedom. They don't want a freedom in the economy or market freedom. They want slavery. They want total control. And that's what we always see. Even when I traded on the trading floor, we traded millions of shares a day of stocks. But then there were those few people who traded billions of shares. Mm-hmm. Now, I liken it to this, okay? Let's say those few people were 10 feet tall and all the rest of us were 4 feet tall. Who do the 10 feet tall people speak to? Each other. Not us. They don't care about us. They're the ones who decide the ebb and flow of capital in nations. They're the ones who decide what nation stays and what nation goes. That's the world of Wall Street. It's corrupt from top to bottom, always has been. Cryptocurrency, they're killing. They're killing crypto. Right now, they have to kill crypto. So three things need to happen, right? Cryptocurrency has to fail. They've got to get rid of it. Inflation has to continue, right? Because they're going to say, hey, we've got to keep the value of the of digital dollars stable eventually. So yeah, we're going to, in order to fight inflation, this is what we need. And people are going to accept it. Fed coin, whatever it's going to be, is going to fight inflation. You watch. That's why they're propping inflation up. And then third, people have to be desperate. You know, if your bank account were suddenly emptied and you had nothing, no retirement fund, no savings, no checking, nothing, Would you agree to a system that says, hey, we'll restore it all just in a different way than it was before, a new kind of dollar called CBDC? Would you say, hey, yeah, I'll take that? Most people would. Most people would.
Yeah, you know, like you know, most people that have families would. I mean, myself, I'd struggle to say, well, in that scenario, what the hell would I do? You know, so let's go there. How do we prepare ourselves? How do we prepare our families through this?
Yeah, we've got to detach from many of the things that we currently are attached to, both electronics and so forth. These things we've got to learn to live without again. We did once. You know, I grew up, there were no cell phones. There were none of the, you know, you'd stop at a payphone if you had to. You don't see them around anymore. But I didn't carry this thing around with me everywhere. You got to detach. You've also got to, as I said, build up that spiritual side of you very much. You need to be very close to Christ and look to him, not the storm that's going on around you. Keep your eyes on Jesus always. Don't take them off of him. Because desperation and fear is not from him. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, we're told, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's from 1 Timothy. And remember that that word power is the word dunamis, which is where we get our word dynamite. So he's given us power. Well, if I have that, and if he's giving that to me, why am I afraid? What is fear? F-E-A-R, forget everything and run. And that's what people do. We always run. So don't run. Stand your ground. You're going to have to be a light today. And for you and your family, there's going to be tough choices. And those tough choices are going to mean families are going to be divided amongst one another. There's going to be a time where you're going to say, I'm not entering that system. If the whole world goes crypto, goes CBDC, I'm not entering it, which means I can't pay my mortgage, my taxes. I won't be able to go get groceries. Isn't it interesting that the prayer, give us this day our daily bread, will become a reality in the lives of those who resist? Yeah. We're going to be praying for our daily bread. And you know what? He's going to supply it. Don't ever doubt that. He said, I will be with you even to the end of the age. Just be faithful. Be faithful and follow me. This is where our faith, the time of easy Christianity is over. Those who aren't with him are against him. And if you're going to be with him, be prepared for martyrdom. And if that doesn't happen, be prepared to struggle, because you're going to struggle. But you're going to see amazing things happen at the same time. You're going to see miracles. You're going to see him provide in ways you never would believe. Why? Because you're faithful and you're standing for truth. It's always about truth. The world doesn't like truth. It doesn't want truth. I remember when I was teaching an apologetics to an audience of people, a woman stood up and said, Father, I have to disagree. You know, there is no such thing as truth. And I said to her, is that a true statement? And the whole place started laughing. She laughed. And she said, well, I guess it is. And I said, well, then there's at least one truth, right? And I walked her back to the Lord, because that's really where our truth comes from. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father but through him. This is our hope, George. It is really living out your faith and understanding when you all you have is him, you've got everything. Somebody once told me a long time ago, when Jesus is all you have, you'll never know what you have in Jesus until Jesus is all you have. We're coming to that time quickly, and you're going to realize you've got everything. The early church did, the martyrs did, they all realized they have everything. If I can, I just want to quickly read to you a quote here from the Didache. The Didache was a very early work that talked about, and 80 AD. The Didache says,
first writings that perhaps it even predated some of the written Gospels. So this is a very early text.
Yep. The Didache, which is the Lord's teaching through the 12 apostles to the nations. And here's what it says. It says, "Watch for your life's sake. Be ready, for you know not the hour in which our Lord will come. For the whole time of your faith will not profit you if you are not made perfect in the last time. For in the last days, false prophets and corruptors shall be multiplied, and the sheep will be turned into wolves, and love shall be turned into hate. For when lawlessness increases, they shall hate and persecute and betray one another. And then shall appear the world deceiver as son of God, and shall do signs and wonders, and the earth shall be delivered into his hands. And he shall do iniquitous things, which have never yet come to pass since the beginning. Then shall the creation of men come into the fire of trial. And many shall be made to stumble and shall perish. But those who endure in their faith shall be saved from under the curse itself. Then shall the world see the Lord coming upon the clouds of heaven." I say, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Absolutely.
Amen. Yeah.
That's what we have to do.
Well, I was just about to ask you in the 10 minutes that we've got left what to expect next, but I just suspect that the Didache just told us what to expect next. Is there anything that we should be expecting next as we see all of these sort of crises unfold around the world? I'm not asking you to pull out a crystal ball and fortune tell. That would be a sin. But I am asking, based on your spiritual knowledge and, you know, your worldly knowledge as well, what do you think we should be on the lookout for in the rest of 2023?
Well, definitely we're going to see this, what I believe will be ultimately the collapse of the banking system. And then we're going to be ushered into a control grid. That's really what it is. So I think we ought to see that. We ought to prepare as best we can. Some people, you know, will get food and other things they'll keep at home. They're going to try to weather the storm. But we're going to see everything, globalization, become more profound in our daily life. Everything's coalescing into one. The economies of the world, the banking system. Secondly, we're going to see war of some measure, a world war. I think they're going to do that. I don't know whether they're going to do that with nukes or not. Some people say that's coming. I don't see them destroying the world they want to rule over. They could do some limited targeted things. So we have to be on the lookout for that, because it seems very much so our politicians want to push us in that direction. And we know from scripture that's true. I had saw something recently, and I'd have to confirm more of it, is, you know, that the Euphrates River, like many lakes and rivers, and is drying up a bit.
Yes,
and
I've read that as well. That's true.
All right. So here you have in scripture, it says that the Euphrates River will be dried up to make way for the kings of the east.
Yes,
which will come to the Battle of Armageddon, right? Some final conflagration in the world. Well, now you have China brokering deals with Iran and Saudi Arabia and Russia.
Right.
And so the kings of the East, plural, seem to be coalescing together, don't they? We're seeing that happening now. It's just interesting to behold. And I'm not saying this is it. What I'm saying is it's very interesting. You've got all these, you know, underground military bases and you know, that they go to, and that we have all of our weapons and stuff like that in. Well, you know, we also see that when the Lord comes back, that they're going to hide themselves in the mountains and underground. And, you know, it's uncanny how everything seems to be playing out the way scripture says it will play out. But, you know, what do we have to do? The Apostle Peter tells us, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and ever. Amen. There's your marching orders.
Very good. Very good. Well, look, before we wrap up, there is one key question, because you dropped a big one then before about the prospect for war. Obviously, I completely agree with you here. No cool heads are prevailing at the moment. No cool heads. It just seems to be more and more Western politicians, Western media just want to ratchet up the notion of war with Russia. They want to keep whatever the hell is going on in Ukraine going on for as long as it possibly can. And that is just bizarre to me as to why someone would not have put their hand up to try and broker peace. And then someone does, and that someone is communist China. And that leaves me scratching my head because, you know, there are many, many, many things wrong with communist China. Many, many things wrong with what they do. And I got to say, I'm concerned about their persecution of Christians, their persecution of Catholics. They had forced abortion policies. They've abused and used the Tibetan people and just about destroyed that that religious system of Tibetan Buddhism. You know, they're overthrow of freedom in Hong Kong, and they're saber-rattling consistently against what is a democratic independent nation of Taiwan. And I think to myself, goodness me, like to have China just pop up as a sort of hero of the day here, this all beggars belief. I'm not sort of sure what question I'm getting to here, but I always thought that the war, if there was going to be one, would probably be a war against China, and perhaps that might be a just war if it was China invading a sovereign territory like Taiwan, for instance. But I'm beginning to think more and more it might not be the type of war that we're looking at here. It may be some other bizarre war. What do you think about the prospects for war and what sort of war it's going to be?
Yeah, what we see is this alliance between Russia and China, right? We seem to be the aggressors, not them, in one sense. The media wants to say Russia is in Ukraine, but we seem to be the aggressors because, as you said, China brokers peace, wants peace talks with Russia and the U.S. on over Ukraine, and we say no. We tell them no, right? And now they're sending over, the U.K. sending over depleted uranium shells to to Ukraine. I mean, what's going on here? Somebody wants us in a war. What we see taking place around the world is the digital currency of China, the BRICS agreement with these other nations. They're switching economies. You have a push for a new world order, and that new world order is either going to be an Anglo world order, which is the West, run by the West, or it's going to be a world order run by China and Russia. Mm. And that's the real ultimate battle. They're positioning themselves for that. They see themselves as dominating the world, and the time of America and the West is over. And so that's what we see happening. Yes, there's going to be a war. 100% there's going to be a war. Ukraine is the biggest money laundering scheme in the history of the world. Always has been, and certainly is now. So a lot of what we see there is theater and TV. And people, you know, are only getting bits and pieces of the story. And once, you know, I think over $100 billion has collectively been given to the Ukraine, and they're running out of bullets. They're running out of weapons. Can you tell me how's that possible? Yeah. How is that possible? You know, everybody's depleting their own arms and ammunition and so forth and sending it to. How's that possible? So, you know, you're seeing a lot of lies and deception, and deception is the name of the game. Stand fast and hold on to the truth.
Thank you very much, Father Lazarus. That's great advice. It's been excellent to speak with you for the last hour. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Maria Z about her being debanked here on the George Christensen Show as part of TNT Radio.